Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you're tuning in to Black Nerds Bible Cast. Hey, I'm so glad that you guys showed up. I'm so glad that you are tuning in. And man, oh man, oh man. So in this episode, we're going to be getting into the chapters, Matthew 3 and 4. Matthew 3 and 4 of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to begin to start our journey to the cross. I find this time of year a very special time of the year leading up to Easter Sunday. This has been very, very, very intimate in my life when I came to Christ. And I remember a time when I wanted to follow the footsteps of Jesus as he went to that journey of following what God had for him in his life. Okay. And I just felt led to do this. I'm glad that you guys are with me. Follow along with me in this journey. And now listen, another thing at the end of the podcast, I'm going to announce a very major move in this Bible cast. Okay. I'm not going to even get into it. there's moments you'll hear too at the same time, but listen, I want you to stay to the very end. I have a special announcement though. And, again, I want to thank you for following me. And I really appreciate the support. So let's get into this. Sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Black Nerds Bible Cast. Hey, good morning, guys. I want to, like I said, I want to start getting into pretty much Bible and reading the scriptures. I want to start reading about Jesus' journey to the cross. So pretty much starting from probably the book of Matthew. I might be skipping over to Mark or something like that, but for now we're going to get into Matthew chapter 3 verse 1, and just kind of follow along actually. Okay. So in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Verse 4. Now, John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all of the regions around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So let's stop right here for a minute. So this here is an introduction to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was also foretold in the book of Isaiah. So we read the book of Isaiah. I can't remember if it was where it was, but anyways, this is really talking about John the Baptist and his introduction that we see of him. He's going to play a pivotal role, basically introducing the Lord in the beginning. One of the things that I come away from this is the fact that there's always someone that prepare the way of the Lord. There's always one that is going to be kind of like the heralder, or the one that will introduce us to the Lord, right? I'm kind of reminded of just, you know, before the Lord comes, you know, the gospel is being spread. And in a way, you know, John the Baptist was this person, this preacher that was preaching about the Lord before he came. This is really identical, again, to different points in the Bible, as we read where, you know, before something came, you know, someone was preaching. Noah preached to the people as he built the ark before the floods came. You know, the floods came and the destruction of the world, you know, and so John the Baptist was preaching, or John the Baptist now is preaching before the coming of Christ. And that's the same thing with us. You know, the church right now, when you think about it, the church right now is actually proclaiming the gospel. We're living in the age, or the dispensation of the church age, or the age of grace. The age of grace is happening right now, before the second coming of Christ. As we see here, this here is like kind of like the first coming of Christ. You know what I'm saying? He came to the people of Israel at that time. And so now we have John the Baptist. He's saying, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Okay. And then he's also telling people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right. So very interesting as this comes. And remember too, yes, it's in the person that preaches the gospel, the one that prepares the way of the Lord is very important. He or she has an important role. So whoever you are, if you're one that is out there, you know, saying preaching the gospel, or if you're one that is telling people to turn from your sins, like John the Baptist was, this is what your role was, or this is your role. This is what your role is. Excuse me. This is what your role is. So, this is very important about John the Baptist. Okay. So, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire." All right. So John the Baptist was very straightforward. John the Baptist didn't play. In other words, when he talked about basically people that he felt were not so much sinners, but those that had the wrong motives. He noticed here, he called the Pharisees and the Sadducees broods of vipers. Okay. Broods of vipers, a very interesting term that he used, but a brood of vipers meaning like a bunch of snakes. Okay. And also snakes also in reference to that, also like with Satan, because Satan was considered like a serpent, you know what I mean? So he talks about that brood of vipers who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. And like I said, the Pharisees and Sadducees, he looked at them as that. He didn't call other people that was coming down to be baptized. He didn't call them broods of vipers. He called the Pharisees and Sadducees brood of vipers. Okay. But at the same time, he almost like he catches himself and says, okay, therefore, you know, he says, therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And then he goes back and said, don't even think, basically, and do not think to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. So listen, he's saying that do not hold fast and think that you have Abraham to say that you are linked to Abraham in any way. Therefore, you have some kind of privilege. Okay, he says, if that's the case, you know, God can raise up children of Abraham from the stones in front of him. Okay, so he really is very, very harsh, I guess, when it comes down to it. When these Pharisees and Sadducees, now you got to remember this. These guys, the Pharisees and Sadducees, weren't coming down to be baptized. They weren't. They were coming down to see what he was doing. And see, this is the thing that you're going to see throughout the gospel of Jesus or the message of Jesus. You're going to see Pharisees and Sadducees throughout this story. You're going to see them show up. You're going to see them question Christ, and you're going to see their whole intent was not to help him preach the gospel. No. And there's a history here, because these people or these preachers or these teachers of religious law, they were trying to make people cookie cutter Christians, or at that time, you know, of course, they wasn't calling them Christians, but they were trying to make them just fully religious to the point where they felt they were better than other people. Okay. They were all about, like, you just keep the law and you just keep doing the things that the law requires you to do. There's no grace. There's no mercy involved. There's not even a true conversion of the heart. And this is where, you know, you'll find again, you'll find Jesus himself begins to come at them as well. And so remember that. I want you to kind of bookmark that in your mind about the Pharisees and Sadducees and just all the things. You'll see a consistent thread from John the Baptist, as he calls them brood of vipers, to Jesus himself when he confronts them as well. Okay, so there's in a way, him and John the Baptist, you know, even though he's really like straightforward and telling them or talking to them and saying this is what you are, but he really is calling them out. Okay, he's calling them out. Now John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Now, according to this, time has passed a little bit. So obviously either this is another day or time has passed since, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees. So we're skipping here to Jesus coming down to the Jordan River to be baptized. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Verse 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Verse 17 says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. So you can see right here that we see, first of all, we see Jesus, who is the Son of God, as he comes down to be baptized, as he gets baptized, or as he's submerged into the water, as he comes up out of the water, then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, descends on him like a dove. So there is a bird or a white dove that descends on him. And then there's the voice that comes from heaven, which is the basically, which is God the Father. Okay, so you have the Son of God coming up out of the water with the Spirit of God descending as a dove, and the voice of God, which is God the Father. So that right there is the moment that we understand this as the Holy Trinity. We see this as God the Father showing up as God the Son and as the Spirit of God, all right there at one moment. This is where the Bible doesn't say a Holy Trinity, but this is where we as Christians, we believe in the Holy Trinity of God, meaning one God but three persons. Okay, one God meaning one God but also three persons in one God. Okay, so this is where we see that, and this is where we get that from. Okay, so you guys ready for chapter 4? Okay, so chapter 4 of Matthew, we're going to read starting with verse 1. And we're going to talk about, and this one is where Jesus goes from being baptized by John the Baptist and is led to the wilderness where he is now tempted. Now, I'm going to stop right here and mention this. Okay, first of all, it's very interesting the events that we're reading about. Okay, first we talk about John the Baptist actually baptizing Jesus Christ, and how Jesus Christ now he's baptized. Now the crazy thing about this is the fact that, you know, John the Baptist always preached and said, prepare the way of the coming of the Lord. The Lord now shows up. He feels so unworthy to be baptized or to be baptized in the Lord that he feels like Jesus should be the one baptizing him. But Jesus says, no, he says, let it be so that you can baptize me. In other words, you know, I want this to be written that I have been baptized by you. The other thing about this is this. The wonderful thing we get from here is that when Jesus is baptized, he is now, other words, he's now worthy to go forth. He's now also in light of what we now know, that Jesus Christ being the unblemished Lamb of God, he was also, you know, according to the Bible now, understanding that him being baptized made him worthy. And the reason why I bring this up, because when he came out of the water, then this is where God himself puts his stamp of approval on him. This is where the Holy Spirit comes on him as a dove. So we see that there is this, okay, now Jesus is ready type of moment. This is where we see that, you know, Jesus is now ready to serve and to be the Lamb of God that we know. Not to say that there was nothing unperfect about him, but the beautiful thing about it is that this moment was shown, even displayed, a visible display to all of us to be able to see. Remember this, when you're baptized, this is a moment in your life where, you know, you don't do this in private. You do this in public. And so your friends and family are always around you, or they witness you being baptized. And this is the same thing with Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus didn't have he had family. He had, you know, of course, his mother, Mary, and others. But at this moment, you know, we're all a witness to see this. And basically who's most important that is there to witness this is his Father God, his Heavenly Father. Okay. And remember that too. The next time if you're one that's listening right now, decide you want to be baptized, remember that this is a very important moment in your life. This is also an important moment in the life of, in just God himself witnessing you being baptized. Okay. So remember that. Now, if you notice here, like I said, Jesus goes from being baptized. Now he's sent out to the in the wilderness to be tempted. So from baptism to temptation, remember that. And some of you guys have to remember too. I am going to get into the scripture, but I keep there's things that keep coming to me to tell you. So remember this, is that as you enter into a walk with the Lord, understand this full well, that you will be tempted by Satan, Satan himself, or even your old past, your old life. In other words, what you're walking away from, you will be tempted by. Whatever you choose, if you choose to walk with Christ, you guess what? You're walking away from your old life. You're walking away from the things that you used to do. And yes, you will be tempted. You will be tempted to want to go back to those things. And so am I saying Jesus was tempted to go back to anything he was coming from? Part of it was let me get into the temptations and we'll talk about that. Okay. So let's just go for now. We're going to go into chapter 4 and we're going to read. Okay. So it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. It says, now remember this part, led up by the Spirit, okay, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterwards, he was hungry. When the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give angels his charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot on against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written, you should not tempt the Lord your God. Now the third time, basically, again, the devil took him up high up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. Isn't this interesting? First of all, like I told you, or like we mentioned to you, mentioned before, footnote, the spirit led him in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Sometimes we have to understand that this temptation of Jesus was a testing. Okay, it's a testing. I wouldn't say a tempting, because in order to be tempted, there needs to be something that, you know, that's really within you. I believe that he was more like he was tested. And the reason why, well, I put it this way, if he was tempted, it was tempted by his hunger, okay, his natural need for hunger, okay. He was fasting, okay, and so what did the devil do? The devil said, "I want you to change these stones into bread." So listen, Jesus had the power to do anything he wanted to, but at the same time, if you notice here, Jesus was fully man and he was fully God. Jesus also took upon the limitations of man. In other words, man was hungry. Man can get hungry. And Jesus was in the body, or in the form of God. I mean, in the form of a man. Okay. And the reason why I say that, because we also have to understand that who Jesus really was. Jesus was fully God and fully man at the same time. Yet what he did was he emptied himself of his divinity and emptied himself of the things that he could have done. So what he did was, he says, you know what? I'm not going to do that. And he told him, he says, I'm going to basically he answered him with the word. He says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out from the mouth of God. And so shall it be for you, me and you. So in other words, it is so true what he's saying. It is written, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. Listen, me and you, of course, we need our natural substances. We need food. We need nourishment. We need the things that we need to have, okay? Natural things in the world. You know what I'm saying? We need clothes. We need to work. We need money. We need things that we require, right? But remember this. We shall not live, according to this, not live by bread alone, by the natural things of the world alone, okay? In other words, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Remember, the words that come out of the mouth of God are living. They're for our spirit. They are for the spirit man, okay? So as you, like I said, as you begin to grow in the Lord, remember that reading the Bible and listening and reading, but also studying and applying the word of God to your life is life, okay? In other words, this is what's going to continue to sustain life, not just in your natural man, but in your spiritual man as well. So it's very important to read, to constantly not only read the word of God, but to follow what the word of God says and to apply its truth to your life. Okay. Now, the devil, this is the second temptation we're going to talk about. And so, yes, I stand corrected. If this will actually be a temptation, and the reason why I say that, because, and I kind of wanted to steer away from the word temptation because of Jesus, but in a sense, yes, he was tempted because he was in the natural body. Okay. So verse 5, when it says the devil took him up into the holy city, set him up on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the son of God, then throw yourself down. Okay. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now Jesus answered him in this temptation and said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Or in some versions it says, you should not put the Lord your God to a test. Okay. So remember that he, first of all, it is ridiculous for him to have to throw himself down just to prove a point. Okay. And that's what the devil's trying to do. The devil's trying to say, you know what? Why don't you throw yourself down and watch his angels come catch you? For what? What is the reason for that? Right? So Jesus answered him and says, no, he said, I'm not going to do that. You shouldn't tempt the Lord your God. In other words, you know good and well that what you're doing is wrong. Why would you do something like that? Now, remember, there are moments in your life that the devil's going to tempt you to do things, and you're going to have to answer him and say, no, you're not going to. No, this is what God says. Remember this. Jesus always answered him with what the word says. He says, it is written. It is written. All right. So in now verse 8. Again, the devil took him up to an exceeding high mountain. Okay. First, it was a temple, the top of a temple. You know, it's that it's a pinnacle of the temple. Now, this is crazy. And there's more to this that I'm not sure of, but, I'm sure that, a lot of times, preachers and teachers, they can actually get a lot more out of this. But I thought that was really interesting when it says that he was at the top of the temple. Now he took him to an exceedingly high mountain, and the mountain here, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. You notice that? Now the mountain is even higher than the temple. The mountain actually, now he says, look at the world. I'm going to show you the world, the entire kingdoms of the world, as a matter of fact, and all his glory. And he says, and if you would just bow down to me or worship me, he says, I'll give all these to you. Okay. And then at this point, Jesus says, you know what? Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only, only you shall serve. Now listen, the devil was really trying to get him to say, look, you can be a king, you can be a leader without doing all the stuff you have to do. In other words, all you need to do is just bow down and serve me. I'll give these to you. Do you think Satan was really telling the truth, or was he lying? Remember, he is the father of lies. He is the one. That's why, there's a lot of references to Satan as a snake. Okay. So remember that. Remember again, Satan will always try to show you or try to make things appear as though this is what I'm going to do for you if you do this. This is all part of Satan's plan. Remember this, when you're a Christian, you're going to be tempted. You're going to be, there's going to be temptation in front of you to do things that you should not do. So remember that, okay? Now, Jesus begins his Galilean ministry. Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. We're going to continue on immediately right into where Jesus begins his Galilean ministry. It's important to understand that Jesus began to preach in Galilee. Now, this is where he begins to preach. He begins to call his disciples. He begins to heal, and we'll begin to see the power of Christ in this ministry. Okay. So verse 12 in chapter 4, verse 12 says, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. Okay. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Okay. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadows of death, light has dawned. Now, isn't this amazing right here? This is really, really, really interesting. Okay. And I wasn't sure if I would even actually understand this, but now that I've just read this, it's really important to understand that there are things that have been prophesied about Jesus in the Old Testament. And we talk about the book of Isaiah quite a bit. Isaiah in the Old Testament was an Old Testament prophet. And a lot of things that was written, a lot of things that I believe the prophet Isaiah had said was pointing to the moments in where Christ was or is now. And so he starts to look and says that the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, why is this so important? Because every moment in every area was very intricately done, not only said by Isaiah, but it was also performed by Jesus. So whatever what the prophecy was pointing to, Jesus began to do. Remember, he says, now when Jesus heard that John was put in prison, he departed to Galilee. Interesting, very interesting. He did not go to see John in prison. He departed, actually. He actually departed, and he went, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in where the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying. This is very interesting. Everything was timed just right. I think that in Jesus's mind, maybe, I don't know his mind, but I'm just assuming that the moment that John was put in prison was a trigger point. And he says, now he must move and depart from the Galilee. Okay. This could have also been seen as, okay, they put him in prison, therefore he's coming after Jesus next. Remember, why would John be put in prison? Okay. Now, I'm reading out of the book of Matthew, but there are other the other gospels, Mark, Luke, and John. we would have to go into those and actually look to see actually why John was put in prison. But if you notice that John here, John the Baptist, and it wasn't of anything that he had done wrong. Obviously, he was just out there baptizing in water. But remember this, the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and remember, they didn't come down to get baptized. They probably came to stop him from baptizing people. Okay, so there's a lot going on, guys, in the Bible. So I want to kind of, if it sounds like we're kind of moving rather quickly through different events, it seems like we are actually. So, forgive me if it seems like it's kind of rushed, but we're going to continue on actually so that we can get through some of these portions. Now it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Totally different than what John the Baptist said. Remember, John the Baptist was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is actually now, right? It is actually right now. All right, so let's continue on. Four fishermen called as disciples, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Then immediately they left their nets and followed him. Okay. Very interesting part right here is when Jesus begins to call his first disciples. Okay. And again, they were all fishermen. Very unique actually. And the reason why I say that, because me personally, like I remember coming, when I first received Christ, one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to tell others about Jesus Christ. I wanted to witness. I wanted to draw people to him. Okay. And it's very interesting that the disciples, what their profession was. They were fishermen. Okay. And he tells them, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men instead of fishers of fish. Remember, these were fishermen. Okay. These men were out there to, their profession was to catch fish. Okay. As their livelihood. Okay. So now he says, go from that to now I'm gonna make you fishers of men. That means you're gonna catch souls. You're going to, preach as well as I am. But in other words, follow me. In other words, remember this: when you come to Christ, Christ asks you and I to follow him. So remember that. Remember, he wants you to follow him. Okay. And we are Christ followers. Okay. Then immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boats and their father and follow him. Interesting. Now we jump right into Jesus heals a great multitude. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, or the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout Syria, and they brought him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond Jordan. Now, very, very important as we end this episode, guys. Jesus heals, his healing ministry starts. Anytime you have someone that had the power like Christ, like Jesus did, people are going to flock. In other words, people are going to begin to talk. They begin to say, wait a minute, he did this, he did what? You notice the people were coming to him. And yes, they might have been coming for his teachings in the synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But what was even more spectacular was they were coming to bring their sick, people that had all kind of disease. It says his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought him all sick people who were afflicted with various disease and torments. This is important, guys, because honestly, look at what we have today. We have cancer, we have sickle cell anemia, we have diabetes, we have all these different type of things. Imagine Jesus Christ being here, even here in the United States, and imagine just in your city alone, people would travel from New York to California if he was here in California. They would travel, they would fly, they're sick, to get healed by Jesus. And that's what these people were doing. They were bringing all their sick people, their relatives, anybody, to come and be healed by Jesus. Okay? He healed. Do you see how it's amazing how we really desire and our desire to be healed from our diseases. Remember, a disease and some kind of thing that afflicts you, it's almost like it handicaps you. It has you captured in its grip. I look at a lot of people that are paralytic, those that are afflicted in wheelchairs, and there's so much in our world today, guys. And you know, I think about one, how in this day here, how Jesus was healing many, many people, and there were a lot. Sometimes my mind does go, like a lot of you guys, to say, how in the world and why in the world are there so many people that have these diseases? Why are these people are like this? And there's a multitude. It was a multitude then, and unfortunately there's a multitude now. You know, we're dealing with currently a coronavirus, right? And it's the same thing. Multitudes of people from other countries and other parts of the world is being hit. We need Jesus Christ. We need a healing. We need the power of God. All right. Now, I'm going to end this episode, and we're going to continue on to the journey to the cross. But I wanted to kind of bring you up to this part here where we talk about, you know, Jesus's ministry. Now he's been baptized. He went through his temptation. He begins to operate. He begins to walk according to the scriptures, or what the scriptures prophesied him to be. And now he's continuously on the mission in which God has him. Okay. Notice the pace in which this went. It was very fast paced. So, we're going to be continuing on to this journey toward the cross, okay? And hang in there with me. You know, we have quite a bit to go. I want you to be on this journey with me as we count toward the days before Easter Sunday, and just embracing that moment of Easter, the resurrection of Christ, and how important that is to us as believers. So until next time, you know, stay with me, and I'm going to be, I may be coming out with another episode after this, the next day or so. So again, if you don't hear anything, don't be alarmed. Also, big news, guys. I want to announce this. Okay. I have to announce this. Actually, you know what? I'll just go ahead and do my little infomercial and let you hear it from there. All right. Hey, until then, you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Have a wonderful week. Please stay safe. There's so much going on out in the world right now. Please stay safe. Remember to use all safe, healthy methods right now. You know, if you're coughing or sneezing, use your arm method. Make sure you stay 6 feet away from people that may be sick. We're living in a time of crisis that has never been seen before. Remember this though. I'm gonna definitely tell you this, that God is still in control no matter what the circumstance is. Yes, there are a lot of things going on in the world today, and I'm gonna tell you, this is almost like we're kind of living in the last days. We are living in the last days, not kinda. We really are. We're living in the last days, and I believe that these are things that are coming. These are things that are coming, not just to say, oh yeah, you know, just because there's a crisis, therefore God is coming, but really, and no jokes, all jokes aside, you know, this is a moment in time now in our history that we're seeing, and this is a worldwide pandemic. Okay, yes, we had SARS, and yes, we had these other ones too, and these were exactly the same way, but this is bigger. This is becoming bigger. This is becoming larger. It's becoming more impactful. And this is the same way it was with earthquakes. You know, earthquakes in direst places. We have tsunamis. We have tornadoes. We have hurricanes. We have all these other natural disasters that are coming to taking place. We also have wars and rumors of wars. And the reason why I'm bringing all this up, because there is a ringing of the bells, basically a kind of a last minute of saying, hey, you know, wake up, be ready, Christ is coming. That means that if you're not fully 100% in with Christ, you need to be. You need to make sure that your salvation is secure and your election is sure, like the Bible says. These are the last days in which, you know, even if this wasn't a specific thing that the Bible talks about, it doesn't matter. Let this moment, or let these moments actually make bring you to the point of checking to make sure that you're living according to God, and really really making sure that your salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, if you know anybody that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, do yourself a favor as well and preach the gospel. It doesn't mean that you gotta preach like behind a pulpit type of deal, but no, you need to at least let them know that Jesus Christ is the one that saves. Okay, we're talking about Jesus Christ. You know, share this Bible cast with them. Let them know, hey, you know, we're talking about Jesus right now. Why don't you follow along with us? You know, again, you know, guys, all I'm saying is, if you're not ready, get ready. Okay. If you're not ready, get ready, because Jesus is coming back. And I want to make sure I let you know that Jesus is definitely coming back. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. It does say that. And at the same time, it says that people will go on living as normal lives, thinking that this kind of giving caution to the wind, thinking that everything's going to be fine. We're going to keep moving and keep moving and don't worry about it. You know what? Jesus, or God himself, is giving people a chance to come to him while it's time. And that is the same way with you and I. So let's not forsake this time that we have. Make sure that you're ready. Make sure that you are saved and fully ready to meet the Lord one day. All right. With that, I'm going to go ahead and close. I'll continue to keep you in prayer. Keep me in prayer. Be safe out there, guys. Honestly, believe in God, but also be safe. Use those safety things that you need to do. Okay. And I'll be talking to you next time. God bless you and your family. Hey guys, it's your guy Larry, and I am so happy that you've been tuning in and supporting me actually on my Black Nerds podcast and Black Nerds Bible cast. So I have a really big announcement to make. So I've been kind of, you know, over the last year or so, really been trying to, or actually evolving, I guess, this podcast. I have ultimately, you know, wanted to do things like, you know, you know, just talk about different things that I like to talk about, whether it's movie news, tech news, and video games. And of course, you know, I still love talking about that. But I've always wanted to kind of bring things together and have, you know, also a Christian component to it as well. You know, talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, ultimately about, you know, just ministering the gospel through the podcast. And so as, you know, I begin to record, you know, throughout the year and stuff last year, I begin to start to see that instead of having these things together, I know I want to make sure that I'm also not only doing the right thing when it comes to separating the two, when it comes to doing those things, because understanding, you know, not to really get too much deep into it, but understanding that, you know, these two entities need to be separate. And those of you that enjoy listening to the tech news, the movie news or movie things, as well as, say, the video games, I have now created a different podcast. So this podcast is going to be called The Bonus Podcast. That's right. It's called The Bonus Podcast. It will be nothing but strictly the movie news or times that I've seen, you know, watch movies or what have you, also video games, as well as other things that, you know, talking about tech news and what's going on in the news and, you know, whatever else, you know, to add on to that. But I wanted to kind of mention that and kind of give my own plug to my new podcast. So again, same thing, it will be distributed through Anchor, and Anchor will be also helping me to distribute that through other podcast forums. So you'll be able to through anywhere that you get your podcast from, through iTunes, whether it be through Google Podcasts or I believe also Spotify is one of the main ones that you can hear my podcast, my new bonus podcast, as well as other ones that eventually will come out. You know, Pocket Cast will be another one. Also just a number of ones. And so as they begin to grow and as it begins to be distributed, I'll definitely here and there will let you know where you can hear the bonus podcast from at. So if you want to enjoy to hear some extra special content when it comes to movie news, video games and stuff, no longer, it will not be a part of the Black Nerds Biblecast any longer. This podcast or this Biblecast will strictly be all things on script, all things about the Word of God and sharing scripture and everything. So I'm really happy that you guys have kind of bear with me through this transition and probably even praying for me. So I do appreciate your prayers and your support. And so as always, please do me a huge favor. And when it comes to the Biblecast, definitely please subscribe and share. I do appreciate that. I would love that, as well as, you know, giving a donation or two would be fine too. So I'm not going to not tell you not to give a donation, but I really appreciate everything that you could give. And I just love the support. I love the fact that you guys are listening and also sharing the message, because the message of the gospel, ultimately, out of everything that I do on this, it's most important. Okay, so again, if you want to hear any extra content when it comes to, say, video game content, movies and tech news and stuff, you can find all of that over on the Bonus Podcast. And until then, this is the Black Nerds Biblecast. Always will be the same. And again, I thank you so very much. And I'll be loving to pray for you guys and pray for me, and as we continue on this journey together. All right. Have a wonderful day, and I'll be talking to you soon.